When Kathy and I agreed that she was going to read the scripture, I asked her if she was ready. She says, ready as ever, but it is kind of strange. It is kind of, isn't it? This thing about our hands being cut off and our eyes plucked out. Would you say Jesus is passionate about the kingdom? Indeed, he is. Would that we have that same passion about the kingdom of God. Several years ago, my wife and I attended a volunteer in mission conference at Lake Junaluska, North Carolina. That's our campground for the Southeast jurisdiction. At that gathering, we attended a workshop and found out about a little jewel. Glimpses of God in the Lives of the Poor, written by Sarah Corson. Sarah and Ken were full-time missionaries of our church, serving in very poor areas in third world situations for their whole career. Robert Fannin, do you know who Bishop Fannin is? He's from Brooksville. He's one of ours, but he was their bishop, because we do that. We send them off, and they become bishops other places. And he's now back home, retired, and still very active. Bishop Fannin says of this book, "The Corsons have lived a lifetime of servanthood and sacrifice so that others might find both physically and spiritually life, both physically and spiritually. Sarah Corson has gleaned from their mission-filled life the pearls of their experiences." So a lifetime of service in third world situations, very, very poor situations, Sarah has gleaned the pearls from that. Now let me ask you this personal question. If you were in the worst of the worst in a third world situation, would you be a Christian? Sarah found faith there, and she's shared those stories in this little jewel of a book. Chris and I have used this book for mission teams as we've taken mission teams over the last 7-8 years or 7-8 times to Guatemala. And tears come to your eyes as we share these stories that Sarah shares. I brought 2 extra copies with me this morning and sold them all at the 8 o'clock. The early bird gets the worm. But they're available from CFAT, which is the organization that they founded in Alabama. And it's an advanced special. Do you know what an advanced special is? An advanced special is a mission of the United Methodist Church somewhere that has special approval for us to raise funds for it. So they call that an advanced special, and every dollar that you give to an advanced special goes for the project. Wonderful thing that we do together as United Methodists. So Chris and I are going to order some more, and we'll make them available, but we just didn't know this was happening. We got a call late in the week saying, "You're preaching." Asked us, of course, and so we're here. Not only did they give their lives to those very special places, but in Alabama, they founded an organization called CFAT, which is an advanced special, that has provided training for people from 76 different countries that have come to Alabama and learn how to go back into their communities to do Christian community development. So not just their lives given, but they've made it possible for folks to be trained to go back and do wonderful things for their community. CFAT, called into being as part of the body of Christ with the specific task of collecting, developing, researching, teaching appropriate technologies as a means for helping people to help themselves. It's that old idea, teach somebody how to fish and they'll be able to provide for themselves. CFAT seeks for unity of purpose and spirit, not necessarily unity of doctrine. Let me say that again. CFAT seeks for unity of purpose and spirit, not necessarily doctrine. So at the very beginning, CFAT asked the question, what is our doctrine? What do you have to believe in order to work together to serve Christ? They had a long debate, took most of the first meeting. At the end, they came with this conclusion. No one would be excluded because of doctrine. The important thing is the love of Jesus. As Jesus shared his love and preached it and lived it, that is what was important for CFAT. If you love God and others, you're invited to join us to change the world as we touch the world and share Christ's love in practical ways. People from many different religious backgrounds then came together, shoulder to shoulder, sharing the love of God. Sarah says, we have been blessed by realizing that we are brothers and sisters in the family of God, even if we disagree on some finer points. The theme song for CFAT was written by a graduate. I love the song. I wish I had the tune. I wish we could sing it, but you'll just have to hear it. When you find that God's love is moving through you, you've got the power to reach the world and the universe. When you feel the Spirit moving, you've got power to reach the world. Many times you hear people say that the world will never change, but the kingdom of Jesus is coming now, and everybody will know it. Come on and join us to change the world, because his promise is truly for us. Come on and join us to change the world if you have been crucified with him. This brings us to our gospel lesson for today in Mark 9. The beloved disciple, John, comes to Jesus with a problem. Teacher, we saw a man casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't one of us. He wasn't one of us, and so we tried to stop him. He wasn't our denomination. And so we tried to stop him. He didn't believe all the things that we believe, and so we tried to stop him. The problem here isn't really that this man wasn't a follower of Christ. The problem here is he wasn't a follower of the 12. Jesus' answer was, do not try to stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. And there were plenty of folks doing that, weren't there? Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose his reward. Interesting, early in chapter 9, a man who has a son who has seizures comes to the disciples and asks the disciples to cure his son. They're not able to do it. And they ask Jesus, why couldn't we do it? Then, before this passage, the disciples get into an argument about which of them was the greatest. And Jesus says, you want to be great? You want to be the greatest? Then be the servant of all. Now, even the beloved disciple John, who's pretty good at this love stuff, still's mixed up in his head. And he said, Jesus, we saw this guy healing in your name, and we tried to stop him. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't do that. The first thing to say about this passage is that it is important what we believe. It is eternally important what we believe. Mark Trotter tells a story that took place in the early years of Tennessee as pioneers were moving west. And they got into conflicts with the Indians, and sometimes the Indians would take their children and raise them as their own. Years passed by and more conflicts with the Indians, and then they had some warriors that they took prisoner, and the commander noticed that one of those warriors looked white. And so he asked a mother who had lost her son many years earlier to come and see if she recognized her son in that group of warriors that had been captured. And she didn't recognize him. And then he asked her, is there a song that you used to sing to your babies? And this mother began to sing, and the response was immediate. She sang, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. A brave stepped forward. He looked at her for the longest time, and she continued to sing, Jesus loves me. Tears welled up in his eyes, and he fell into her arms. This song tells us who we are. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves us. We love Jesus. That is who we are. That's the bottom line, isn't it? The love of Jesus for us and our response to his love. Our salvation rests on our faith in Christ. That's why our Bibles are so important. It said that when Sir Walter Scott was dying, he asked for the book. And they asked, which book? And he says, there is but one book. Bring me the Bible. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. There is but one book for the Christian. We don't worship the Bible, but it is the eternal truth for our souls. We don't see it as magic. Doesn't do anything on a coffee table, does it? It's only when we pick it up and read it and take it to heart that it has eternal value for us. There was an Ethiopian emperor who was a little confused about that. He thought there was magical power in the Bible, and so whenever he was sick, he would eat some pages of the Bible. He died in 1913 after eating the Book of Kings. We don't worship the Bible, but we do love Jesus. And we worship the Lord because he gave his all for us, even to the cross and the empty tomb. It's important what we believe. We are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift from God. We are people of his way, of his truth, of his love. And faith requires obedience. Faith to be real requires that we put our lives in the Lord's hands. We live his way. We do what he wants us to do. We are his. James puts it this way, faith without works is dead. There's an old story about four angels who were there when God was creating the world. The first angel asked, "How are you creating the world?" The second angel wanted to know why. "Why are you creating the world?" The third angel asked the question, "Can I have the world when you're finished with it?" And the fourth angel said, "May I help you in the creation?" The first question is the scientist's question. The second question is the philosopher's question. The third question is the selfish sinner's question. And the fourth question is the faithful Christian's response to what God has done for us. Jesus loves us, tells us who we are. "Can I help?" tells us what we are to do. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and giving us the ministry of reconciliation. That is our task, isn't it, brothers and sisters, to help others experience and know what we have come to know in our hearts. It is eternally important what we believe. It is just as important what we do. We are to participate in God's kingdom and do what Jesus wants us to do. And we should not pass judgment on others who are serving Christ, especially those who have rolled up their sleeves and are doing what Jesus wants them to do. I like the story of the little girl who came to know that Jesus was Jewish. She was a little taken back by that. She says, "Well, God's a Methodist." It's so easy, isn't it, to fall into that trap. That if I'm right, then you've got to be wrong. That is a temptation that comes to us from the evil one and has created so much havoc within the body of Christ. In a sermon preached in London, November 24th, 1765, John Wesley said this, "How dreadful and how innumerable are the contests which have arisen about religion, not only among the children of this world, among those who know not what true religion was, but even among the children of God, those who have experienced the kingdom of God within them. How many of these in all ages, instead of joining hands together against the common enemy, have turned their weapons against each other, and so not only wasted their precious time, but hurt one another's spirits, weakened each other's hands, and so hindered the great work of the common master. How many lame turned out of the way? How many sinners confirmed in their disregard for all religion and their contempt for all who profess it?" Ouch. How dreadful indeed. Over and over and over again, we heard about this war between Catholics and Protestants. How dreadful. How simply dreadful. And yet, it isn't just those wars out there in Northern Ireland, is it? Goes on in the body of Christ all the time. Christians, no matter what we call ourselves, are all the same. Christians are all the same. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your doing. It's a gift from God." There is no reason for pride for any of us. It's all a gift from God. Baptists believe that, right? Catholics believe it. Methodists believe it. Mennonites believe it. Presbyterians, Episcopalians, United Church of Christ. That's the foundation for anyone to be a Christian. It is a tenet of our faith as Methodists from the very beginning that the Church of Jesus Christ is not limited to any one denomination. Each community of faith has its own contribution to make to Christendom. We are all a part of a grand symphony of praise and service to Jesus Christ. United Methodists, along with other Christians all over the world, find hope in the present and future reign of God. God's plan for the world will come to be. We live toward a new heaven and a new earth, where the leper will lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, where nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This we believe. This we trust. This we lean into, yearn for. He who is not against us is for us, Jesus says here in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus teaches us, his disciples, a generosity of spirit, a graciousness of spirit toward those who are serving Christ with us, even if we don't see eye to eye on some things. For truly I tell you, here's the promise, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose their reward. But he's got the woes in there, doesn't he? Don't be a stumbling block. Don't be a stumbling block to the little ones. And oh, how we have emphasized being stumbling blocks as the body of Christ for so many years, so many ways. I'd like to invite you to get out your scripture sheet and look at that last verse. Back when I was a kid, we had memory verses, and we had contests, and you committed verses to memory. And I still know a memory verse back when I was in third grade. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Look at this 50th verse. Have salt in yourselves. What does that mean? Basically means be a Christian, right? Be in the world a Christian. Have Christ in you so that when you're in the world, you've got Christ in you and you're salt wherever you go. And then what's the last thing he says? Be at peace with each other. Be at peace with each other. Amen.